Now, it's been an ugly old week in the political game. Willie Jackson calls David Seymour a useless Maori. Mark Mitchell goes to talk to Greg O'Connor about rugby, and because Poto Williams is at the table, can't sit there because they don't like the way he's holding her to account. Then yesterday, Shane Retty asks a question of Kelvin Davis, who wrote his reply entirely in Maori without a translation. National, this is where Jerry Brownlee gets involved, asked for a translation. The government declined, and Mellard says there were enough Maori speakers that he could get it translated elsewhere. So what the hell's going on? Peter Dunn has been there, done that, and he's with us. Morning, mate.
Good morning, mate.
This new, or you've seen it all before?
It's a bit of the latter, really. I think what's happening here is that we're 18 months out from an election. It's looking as though it's going to be a very closely fought election. Tensions are starting to rise. There are some people working out, hang on, my career might be over in 18 months' time. Others working out, I mightn't become the minister I thought I was going to become after all. So it's just added flavour and pressure. And I think also the government's been on a very good run for a long time. It's now finally dawning on it that the golden days are over, and so that's adding pressure as well.
Is the pettiness necessary?
No, it's not necessary, but it's not new. So it goes with the territory because people are lashing out because they're frustrated. They're frustrated because either they're not in office or they're frustrated because they see their days in office might be coming to an end. But it's not new. It's pretty unsavoury and it's pretty silly, and I don't think any of the people who you've named today are sort of shown in a good light as a consequence of it.
Is it a reflection of some of their personality? I mean, Willie's Willie, isn't he? I mean, you know, that's what he is. And Mellard's obviously turned into a thing all of his own.
Yeah, I think Mellard's behaviour over the question is rather bizarre. His logic that Maori is an official language, therefore, you know, you go figure, doesn't really sit with the fact that we've always had an interpreter in Parliament, we've always had simultaneous translation. So the idea that somehow now, because it's an official language, that's your problem, I just think shows he's, again, out of control.
Presumably, you could sign your answer. Because that's an official language as well.
That might be the next thing that comes. But frankly, the assumption has always been, if you've got an official language, and Maori sign and English are obviously those, then you've got to make provision for some form of translation so that others who don't speak that language can understand it.
Yeah. What's your general read of the political scene at the moment? Is the tide going out on the government? I mean, the polls tell us, but in general, is the tide going out on the government?
I think it is, and I think there are a couple of reasons for that. One is just the passage of time. It's now 4.5 years, so it's not a new government, and so it's starting to irritate people the way all governments do. I think the second is that really since the Auckland lockdown last year, the tide's been going out. If you look at the opinion polls, they've been pretty grim for Labor since about October, and I think the worrying thing for them is that they don't seem to be getting any better. No. Now, they haven't sort of plummeted hugely, but on the other hand, they're stuck in a rut at the moment where they would struggle to retain office. And I think that's what's fueling some of this tension. After all, we're the great Labor government. We've had this cruisy 2 years. We did so well on COVID. How come the people don't love us anymore? So I think there's a lot of that sort of...
You've been inside the party. Explain to me, I believe there's genuine pushback in the country on some of this ideological stuff around co-governance. Rightly or wrongly, there's pushback. Do they not see that? Do they not get it? Or does Labor have a thing about them that they know better than us, therefore they'll push through?
Again, it's a combination of both. I'm sure there are people in the caucus who will be arguing vociferously that this is crazy stuff, this is dumb stuff, this is costing us votes. I'm getting it at my clinic every Saturday morning or at the RSA or wherever. Then there'll be others saying, this is our historic mission, we've got to do this. And there'll be a small group saying, look, if we don't do it now and we don't get back next time, it'll never happen. So we've got to crash through. And it's that sort of tension going on and on and on. And eventually, depending on, you know, what the poll numbers look like, one side or other is going to prevail. And either they crash through and take the consequences, or they back off and take the consequences. If they do the latter, of course, they end up looking pretty divided and hopeless. So it's a really difficult tension for them.
Because I can't work it out. I mean, I've been around a while, not as long as you, but a while. But I honestly can't work out whether they think we're going to lose anyway. So we'll go hell for leather. We'll put as much in place as we possibly can so they can't get it out. The health reforms, the co-governance, all that stuff. And at least we can sit back from the opposition benches and say, we did the right thing.
I think there's an element of that. I'm not sure, though, whether that's yet embedded in their thinking. I think that's certainly the next stage of development, if you like. Look, you know, all's lost, so let's go full speed ahead and damn the torpedoes. Mm. I don't think they're quite in that frame of mind, but they're getting there. And I think that the other issue is, bear in mind that they've talked big on so many things, from Kiwi Build right through to you know, you name it, they've promised the earth and they've seldom delivered anything approaching that. So they're getting to the point now where they've got to get some runs on the board somehow.
But why would they? See, my question to that is, why would they, based on the fact I don't think they can, do they ask themselves why they're not good at delivering, or are they just confused?
No, I think they blame the public service. And the problem is that they're still very wary of the public service because they see them as sort of somehow still having worked for the National Party for the years it was in office.
Right.
But they also know that a lot of their voters are public servants, so they don't want to push them too far to alienate them. So you end up with this sort of going nowhere tension. You know, don't want to push you too hard because you mightn't like what we're proposing. On the other hand, you work for the other lot. So it's all a bit messy. I think that they're sort of coming to grips now with the fact that the next election is not going to be the pushover that the last election was, that they're going to have to fight for every vote, and that it's not all smooth sailing. So the budget next week, Robertson has got an impossible task there, really. He's got to bring down the cost of living, solve the health crisis, budget for the future for infrastructure and climate change needs. He can't do all of them, so he'll be seen to have failed. And again, that just sort of builds on itself and becomes a never-ending sort of prophecy, really.
Interesting insight. Oh, and then you've got the BNZ saying next year that we're going nowhere growth-wise. He will be going into election year with a recession, and he can't just blame China and just blame the war, can he?
No, and the thing to watch there in the opinion polls is not so much the race between the two main parties, but is the country on the right track, wrong track question?
Exactly.
And once that settles in as being on the wrong track, and it seems to have at the moment, then the government faces a very, very stiff task. And as you say, they've got no one else to blame at that point.
Always good to have you on the program, Peter. Peter Dunn, former MP, of course.